أيها الإخوة والأخوات، إخوانكم في مكتبة مسجد التوحيد يسرهم أن يقدموا لكم هذه المحاضرة القيمة والتي هي بعنوان
The subject of today's talk, before going into the meaning of good character and the pillars of good character and so on and so forth, is about the benefits of good character in this world and the hereafter.
والآن نترككم مع المحاضرة.
آمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد، whenever a person wants to learn about any matter, they must have that which drives them to realizing the importance of that matter. They must look at the benefits of the thing that they are learning about and how it protects them from great harm. I was asked to come here and speak about good character, and I don't feel like I'm the correct person to be speaking about good character. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself and for you as a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you shall ask his Lord, وَأَهْدِينِي لِأَحْسَنِ الْأَخْلَاقِ لَا يَهْدِي لِأَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتِ. And I ask you to guide me to the best of character as well as my brothers. For verily no one can guide us to the best of character except for you, O Allah. And as he used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. O Allah, just as you beautified my outside, then beautify my character. The subject of today's talk, before going into the meaning of good character, on the pillars of good character, and so on and so forth, is about the benefits of good character in this world and the hereafter. There are many ahadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam that demonstrate to us concerning almost all of the major events of the Day of Judgment, how the person who has good character during the ahwal, during the terror of the Day of Judgment, step by step, stage by stage, during that day whose length is like 50,000 years, how the person who has good character will be benefited by his good character on the Day of Judgment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said in the hadith reported by Amr ibn Shu'aib on the authority of his father, who reported from his grandfather, who said, أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, that he heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, أخبركم بأحبكم إلي وأقربكم إلي مجلسا وأقربكم مني مجلسا يوم القيامة. He said, shall I not inform you concerning those of you who are most beloved to me and those who will be closest to me on the Day of Judgment? Now imagine, during everything that the people will encounter on the Day of Judgment, finding themselves in a state of terror, coming out of their graves like scattered moths, standing in the heat of the sun, staring at the sky, waiting for the judgment to begin. As was reported by At-Tabarani in Mu'jam al-Kabir, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ قِيَامًا أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَنْتَظِرُونَ فَصْلَ الْقَضَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the first of generations unto the last of generations on the Day of Judgment. And they will be standing for 40 years, قياما شاخصة أبصار شاخصة أبصارهم. And their eyes will be affixed staring at the sky. What will they see in the sky? They'll see that the sun has come close to the earth and has lost its brightness. They'll see that the stars have lost their luster. They'll see the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. And the eight angels that carry the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that between the earlobe of one of them and their shoulder is a distance of 700 years journey. They will be staring at the sky for 40 years just waiting for the judgment to begin. And the people in that condition will start to go from one prophet to another. And they will say, هذا آدم أبو البشر. This is Adam, the father of our humanity. خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ بِيَدَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him with his hands. And he caused his malaika, he caused his angels to prostrate out of honor for Adam. And they'll go to Adam and Adam will mention his sin. And they'll go to each prophet and each prophet will give an excuse. And say, اِذْهَبُوا إِلَى غَيْرِي. Go to someone else. نَفْسِي نَفْسِي. Myself, myself. Myself, myself. عليهم الصلاة والسلام. And so they go to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم, and he says, أنا لها أنا لها, I'll do it, and I have to do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would teach him Muhammad, he would teach him ways to praise him tabaraka wa ta'ala on that day. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of all of humanity. Now imagine, when humanity goes to prophet, from prophet to prophet, and the last one that they go to before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam. And he says, and he will say, as one hadith says, كُنْتُ عُبَادُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ كُنْتُ عُبَادُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. The people used to worship me along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اذهبوا إلى غيري اذهبوا إلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Go to someone else. Go to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم will intercede for the creation. And he will fall prostrate under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, ارفع رأسك سل تعطى وَشْفَعْ تُشَفَّعْ. He will say, raise your head, ask anything and it will be given to you. Intercede and your intercession will be accepted. And he will say, صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم, أمتي أمتي, my nation, my nation. Oh Allah, my nation, oh Allah, my nation. Now imagine something that will cause you to be loved by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And can you imagine a place that is better to be on the Day of Judgment than standing near the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, أُخْبِرُكُمْ, shall I not inform you of that which will make a person most beloved to me? وَأَقْرَبَكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the person who will be closest to me on the Day of Judgment. فَسَكَتَ الْقَوْمُ. The people, they were silent. فَعَادَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثًا. And he repeated it two or three times, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Perhaps they were afraid that the answer was something that would trouble them or sadden them. Perhaps they didn't want to hear that there were people who were more beloved to the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, than them. Inasmuch as that the companions used to feel as though the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved each of them the most. As Amr ibn al-As, he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the treatment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for him, أَنَا خَيْرٌ أَمْ أَبُو بَكْرٍ. Am I better or is Abu Bakr? Is Abu Bakr is better than you? Am I better or is Umar? Umar is better than you. The companions, they knew the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for them. And they didn't say anything when he asked them this question. After repeating it two or three times, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحسنكم خلقا. He said, they are those who are best in character. Those who will be most beloved to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And closest to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are those who have the best character. So if a person spent his entire life to perfect one aspect of good character, that would not have been a waste. It was reported by Sufyan ibn Sa'id in authority, rahimahullah ta'ala, in the book Makarim al-Akhlaq by Ibn Abi Dunya. So Sufyan al-Thawri said, لو أن رجلا عمل عمره كله ليقع عليه اسم من هذه الأسماء أن يقال حليم أو يقال كريم. He said that if a man was to work his entire life in order to be able to have applied to him one of these titles of nobility, it would not have been a waste. If he works his entire life so that it will be said about him, and he will have been known as one who was Halim, one who was patient and forbearing, or one who was Kareem, or one who was noble and of good character. Al-Imam Abu Hatim Muhammad ibn Hibban al-Busti, rahimahullahu rahmatan wasi'a, he said in his book Rawdat al-Uqala, أجمع أهل التجارب للدهر وأهل الفضل في الدين والراغبون في الجميل على أن أفضل ما اقتنى رجل لنفسه في الدنيا وأجل ما يدخر لها في العقبة هو لزوم الكرم ومعاشرة الكرام. He said those people who have experience and the people who have virtue concerning the religion and those who are seeking after beautiful qualities and character traits for themselves, they are unanimous upon the fact that the best thing that a man can acquire for himself in this world, and the most important thing that he can have on the Day of Judgment, when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he adheres to noble character, and that he mingles and benefits from those who have noble character. So the person who has noble character will benefit tremendously in this world and the hereafter. His life will be the most complete life. He'll have the best life and get the most out of his life. As Al-Imam ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says in his book Madarij al-Salikin, he says, وَكُلَّمَا كَانَتْ هَذِهِ الْأَخْلَاقُ فِي صَاحِبِهَا أَكْمَلْ كَانَتْ حَيَّتُهُ أَقْوَى وَأَتَمْ. He said, the more perfect a person's character is, the more complete his life will be and the stronger his life will be. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ خُلُقُ الْحَيَاةِ مُشْتَقًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ إِسْمًا وَحَقِيقَةً. And for this reason, the word al-haya, the word shyness, is taken from the same word as life in its meaning and its reality. فَأَكْمَلُ النَّاسِ حَيَاةً أَكْمَلُهُمْ حَيَاءً. For verily, the person who will get the most out of their life is the one who has the most complete shyness. وَنُقْسَانُ حَيَاءِ الْمَرْءِ مِنْ نُقْسَانِ حَيَاتِهِ. And the person who is deficient in his shyness will have deficiencies in his life. فَإِنَّ رُوحِ إذا ماتت لم تحس بما يعلمها من القبائح فلا تستحي منها. For verily the soul, once it dies, it cannot feel anything that will cause it pain of hideous actions, of reprehensible deeds. Once a person's soul is dead, when they commit sins, they don't feel any pain. As a poor once said, من يهن يسهل الحوان عليه ما لي جرح بميت إلام. That whoever is despicable, then it will be easy for him to be humiliated. And a wound does not cause pain to a person who is dead already. If the soul of a person is dead, and his heart is dead, and he is void and empty of shyness, then reprehensible character and reprehensible qualities and horrible actions will not cause him any pain. Ibn Qayyim, he said, فَإِذَا كَانَتْ صَحِيحَةَ الْحَيَاءِ أَحَسَّتْ بِذَلِكَ فَاسْتَحِيَتْ مِنْهِ. And when a person is truly alive, then they will feel pain on account of having bad qualities and bad actions, and they will be shy of doing such actions. وَكَذَلِكَ سَائِرُ الْأَخْلَاقِ الْفَاضِلَةِ وَصِفَاتِ الْمَمْدُوحَةِ تابعة لقوة الحياة وضدها من نقصان الحياة. He said, likewise, the rest of qualities of good character that are praiseworthy, they follow according to the strength of the person's life, will be according to those qualities. And what he is missing in his life will be according to what he is missing of those qualities. وَلِهَذَا كَانَتْ حَيَاةُ الشُّجَاعُ أَكْمَلَ مِنْ حَيَاةُ الْجَبَّانِ. He said, and for this reason, the life of the courageous person is more complete than the life of a coward. وَحَيَاةُ السَّخِيحُ وَحَيَاةُ السَّخِيحُ أَكْمَلُ مِنْ حَيَاةُ الْبَخِيلِ. And the person who is generous will get more out of his life than the person who is greedy. وَحَيَاتُ الْفَطْنِ الذَّكِيِّ أَكْمَلَ مِنْ حَيَاتِ الْفَدِمِ الْبَلِيدِ. And the person who is intelligent and smart in their behavior, they will get more out of their life than the person who is stupid and foolish. ولهذا لما كان الأنبياء صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم أكمل الناس حياة حتى إن قوة حياتهم تمنع الأرض أن تبلى أجسامهم كانوا أكمل الناس في هذه الأخلاق ثم الأمثل فالأمثل من أتباعهم. He said, and for this reason, inasmuch as the prophets and the messengers of Allah عليهم الصلاة والسلام were those who had the most perfect lives and who got the most out of their lives, to the point that their lives were so strong and complete that after they died, the earth was forbidden from decomposing their bodies. Then as much as that they had the most complete of lives and got the most out of their lives, they were those who had the best of character and the most complete of character. And then those who follow them most closely, and then those who are after them from their followers. فَانْظُرُوا الْآنْ إِلَى حَيَاةِ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ عُتُلٍ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ وَحَيَاةُ جَوَادٍ شُجَّاعٍ بَرٍ عَادِلٍ عَفِيفٍ مُحْسِنٍ تَجِدُ الْأَوَّلْ مَيِّتًا بالنسبة إلى ثاني ولله دار القائل وما للمرء خير في حياة إذ ما عد من سقط المتاع. He said, look at the life of a person who is despicable, who belittles others, and who carries namima between the people, corrupting what is between the people, backbiting and tail-carrying between the people. A person who is greedy concerning how he withholds from doing the good, and who is oppressive towards the creation. Look at this person compared to a person who is generous and brave and kind and benevolent and just and chaste. He said, you find that first person is dead compared to the second person. He said, a poet once said that there is no good in living for a man when he is held to be in contempt and despicable. So the person who has good character, he will benefit tremendously in his life before his death, before the day of judgment. He will benefit tremendously. There are a number of ahadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that show us how a person or how a people, on account of their good character, how they will benefit from their lives. From that is the well-known hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about fitna, and he said, تَجِيُّ الْفِتَنُ فَيُرَقِقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. The fitna will come, and every time it comes, it will make what came before it seem lighter. وَتَجِيُّ الْفِتَنُ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنُ هَذِهِ مَهْلَكَتِي إِلَى قَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُزَحْزَحَ عَنَ النَّارِ وَيُدْخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْتَأْتِيهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وهو يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر وليأتي إلى الناس الذي يحب أن يؤتوا إليه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned how the people will be tested with calamities and tribulations and trials, all sorts of problems and trouble and so on and so forth. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever would like to be distanced far away from the hellfire and entered into the paradise, he gives a makhraj, he gives the escape route from fitna. He said, then let him meet his death while he believes in Allah on the day of judgment, and let him deal with people as he would like for people to deal with him. So the person who wants to benefit in this world and the hereafter, he'll deal with people how he would like for people to deal with him. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us of how having good character will benefit a person concerning his family issues. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرًا أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ رِفْقًا. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for a people, then He will cause gentleness and kindness to enter their home. He will cause gentleness and kindness to enter upon them. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us of how having good character will benefit us economically and will expand our lives. When he says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in hadith reported by Bukhari and others, he said, مَنْ صَرَّهُ أَنْ يُبَسَّتَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ وَأَنْ يُنْسَأَ لَهُ فِي أَثَرِهِ فَلْيَصِرْ رَحِمًا. He said, whoever would like to have his money increased, his provision increased, and to have his lifespan extended, then let him join the ties of the womb. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّهُ مَنْ أُعْتِيَ حَظَّهُ مِنَ رِفْقٍ فَقَدْ أُعْتِيَ حَظَّهُ مِنْ خَيْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He said, indeed, whoever has been given their fair share of rifq, of gentleness, then he has been given his fair share of the good of this world and the hereafter. He said, وَصِلَةُ رَحِمْ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ وَحُسْنُ الْجِوَارِ يُعَمِّرَانَ الدِّيَارِ وَيَزِيدَانِ فِي الْعَمَارِ. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and joining the ties of the womb, and having good character, and being a good neighbor, يُعَمِّرَانَ الدِّيَارِ وَيَزِيدَانِ فِي الْعَمَارِ. It will bring life to the homes of people, and it will extend their, it will increase their lifespans. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ عَجَلَ الطَّاعَةِ ثَوَابًا إِنَّ عَجَلَ الطَّاعَةِ ثَوَابًا صِلَةُ رَحِمْ وَإِنَّ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ لَيَكُونُونَ فُجَّارًا فَتَنْمُ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَيَكْثُرُ عَدَدُهُمْ إِذَا تَوَاصَلُوا إِذَا تَوَاصَلُوا. This hadith was reported by Abu Hurairah and by Abi Bakr in the book of At-Tabarani, Mu'jam al-Kabir. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the act of obedience that is quickest to be rewarded is joining the ties of the womb. For verily the people of a household may be fujjar, they may be fajara, they may be fujjar, they may be wicked people, sinful people, disobedient people, but on account of joining the ties of the womb, their money will increase and their numbers will increase. So these ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they demonstrate to us how the person will benefit in this world from good character. Likewise, good character will be a cause for him to die a good death. As a messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Sana'u al-ma'roof taqi' masari as-su'." وفي حديث آخر عليكم بالصناع المعروف فإنها تمنع من مصارع السوء أي من سوء الخاتمة. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that indeed acts of kindness prevent a person from dying an evil death. Indeed acts of kindness prevent a person from dying an evil death. And in another wording, I advise you to do acts of kindness and generosity and goodness towards the creation. For verily it prevents a person from dying an evil end. For verily it protects a person from an evil end. And in one wording, wal afati wal halakat wa ahlul ma'rufi fi dunya hum ahlul ma'rufi fi al-akhirah. This hadith was reported by Anas ibn Malik in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went on to say that just as it protects him from dying an evil death, then it will save him from all sorts of calamities and difficulties. And the people of goodness and kindness in this world are people who will be shown ma'ruf. The people who have ma'ruf in this world, the people of goodness in this world are those who will be dealt with in a good way in the hereafter. So a person who has good character, he will have benefited in his life, and his life will have been more complete and perfect than the life of a person who was a possessor of bad character, and a person who broke the ties of the womb, a person who cheated others, a person who was dishonest, a person who was a liar, is a person who was truthful, the person who was generous, and the person who was kind to his parents, and so on and so forth. This person will have got much more out of their life. They will have found themselves in a state of sa'ada, in a state of happiness and bliss in this world before the hereafter. And they will die a good death bi-ithnillahi azza wa jal. They will come on the day of judgment. On that day, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنَا تَاللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On the day that neither wealth nor children will benefit a person. And the only thing that will benefit a person is to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean heart. They will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Insha'Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who have good character, they will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hearts that are pure, that are free of shirk, and free of innovation, and free of animosity and hatred and jealousy and grudges towards their Muslim brothers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أفضل الناس ذو قلب مخموم ولسان صادق. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the best of mankind, the most virtuous of mankind, is a person who has a clean heart and a truthful tongue. قالوا يا رسول الله صدوق اللسان أعرفه. He said, O Messenger of Allah, we know what you mean by having a truthful tongue. These were people who lived by their word. It was frowned upon in their society to be dishonest. So we know what you mean by having a truthful tongue. وَمَا مَخْمُومُ الْقَلْبِ. But what is meant by having a heart that is clean? He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, هو التقي النقي الذي لا إثم فيه ولا بغي ولا غل ولا حسد. He said it is a heart that has taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is clean and pure and pristine, that has no ithm wal baghi. It doesn't have any love of disobedience It doesn't have the desire to oppress others. وَلَا غِلَّ وَلَا حَسَدٍ. And it doesn't have any animosity towards others, nor jealousy for others. That is a person that will benefit on a day when nothing will benefit except coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean heart. On that day the people will be terrified. As we mentioned that the prophets and the messengers of Allah alayhi wa salatu wa salam, that each of them will say, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. To the point that some of the salaf, they said that the hellfire will rage with a single roaring when it is brought on the day of judgment. After which there will not remain an angel that is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a prophet who was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that they will fall upon their knees out of terror. The people will be in a state of horror, terror on that day. But there will be a people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give peace to, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect from the fear of that day. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said, Inna lillahi ibadan laysu bi anbiya wala shuhada yaghbituhum ash-shuhada'u wal anbiya. He said, on the day of judgment, or he says, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has servants who are not prophets and nor are they martyrs. And they will be envied by the martyrs and the prophets on the day of judgment. يغبطهم الأنبياء والشهداء يوم القيامة لقربهم من الله عز وجل ومجلسهم منه. Because of their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place them in proximity to Himself, tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allah will raise them on that day. فَجَثَ عَرَبِيٌ عَلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ. A Bedouin fell upon his knees. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, سُبْحُمْ لَنَا جَلِّحُمْ لَنَا. O Messenger of Allah, describe them to us and make it abundantly clear to us exactly who they are. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ قوم من أفناء الناس من نزاع القبائل تصادقوا في الله وتحابوا فيه يضع الله عز وجل لهم يوم القيامة منابر من نور. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم that they are people who are held insignificant amongst their peoples, who are from those who went away from their tribes, a few individuals here and there. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he said, and they were friends for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before the conquest of Mecca, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed the people, or rather the people, they were informed that it was mandatory, it was known that it was mandatory to migrate to Al-Medina. And so the people, they migrated to Al-Medina from all sorts of lands, from as far as Yemen and farther than that. The people came to Al-Medina who accepted Islam to strengthen the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they came from all sorts of tribes and all sorts of peoples. And the only thing that held them together was Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, they are people tasadaqu fillah, who have friendship towards one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will place for them prophets of light on the day of judgment. يَخَافُ النَّاسُ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ هم أولياء الله عز وجل الذين لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون اللهم اجعلنا منهم. He said, the people will be in a state of fear while they will have nothing to fear. They are the allies of Allah عز وجل. They are the allies of Allah, the mighty and majestic. There is no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed that while there are people who are standing in the heat of the sun on that day, and the people will sweat, and some people will sweat to their ankles, and some to their knees, and some to their waist, and some to their earlobes, that there will be some people who will be in the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on account of their good character and their good dealings with others. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قال الله عز وجل حقت محبتي على المتحابين أذلهم في ظل عرش أذلهم في ظل العرش يوم القيامة يوم لا ظل إلا ظلي. He said that I have made my love rightful to be placed upon those who love one another for my sake. I will shade them in the shade of my throne on the day of judgment, on a day when there is no shade except for my shade. Likewise, concerning the questioning and the reckoning, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us that there will be a people who will benefit tremendously on account of their good character, or will have wished rather that they benefited from their good, from having good character and good dealings with others in this world. When they are questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, they will be questioned by Allah hatta ayqana annahu halik, to the point that each of them will be sure that they are destroyed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ma minkum min ahadin illa sayukallimuhu rabbuhu laysa baynahu wa baynahu turjuman fayanduru aymana minh fala yara illa ma qaddam wa yanduru ash'ama minh fala yara illa ma qaddam وَيَنْظُرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَى النَّارَ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِهِ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشَقِّ تَمْرَةٍ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَجِدْ فَبِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there is not a single one of you except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to him on the day of judgment, and there will not be an interpreter between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will look to his right side and will not see anything but what he put forward of actions. And look to his left side and will not see anything except for what he put forward of actions. And he will look directly in front of him and will not see anything but the hellfire directly in front of him. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ. So protect yourself from the fire. Shield yourself from the fire. Even if by a part of a date in charity. And if you cannot find that, then by speaking a good word. The person who wants to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be easy with him when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds him to account for his actions, and he has to have mercy towards the creation. He has to forgive the creation, and he has to be easy dealing towards the creation. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, irhamu turhamu waghfiru yughfar lakum waylu li aqma'il qawl ay alladhina la yafhamuna ma yasma'un waylu li aqma'il qawl alladhina yusirun waylu lil musirin alladhina yusirun ala ma fa'alu wa hum ya'lamun. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and by Bukhari and Adab al-Mufrad and the authority of Ibn Amr, he said, show mercy and you will be shown mercy. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Woe be to those who don't understand what they hear. وَيْلُ لِأَقْمَعِ الْقَوْلِ. Woe be to those who don't understand what they hear. You were just told how you can be shown mercy on the day of judgment, how you can be forgiven on the day of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, woe be to those who don't understand what they hear. Waylun, woe be to those who persist upon their behavior while they know fully well. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and reported by Al-Tabarani in Mu'jam Al-Kabir, He said, اسمح, اسمح, يسمح لك. He said, be easy in dealing with the people, and ease will be shown in how you are dealt with. أي سهل, يسهل عليك. قال المناوي في فيض القدير. الإمام المناوي, he said in فيض القدير, his explanation of الجامع الصغير. He said, عامل الخلق الذين هم عيال الله وعبيده بالمسامحة والمساهلة يعاملك سيدهم بمثله في الدنيا والآخرة. He said, meaning deal with the creation, who are the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with ease and kindness, and their master will deal with you the same way in this world and the hereafter. Likewise, when the people go to the mizan, it is well known that good character will have benefited that person. When their actions are weighed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Abi Darda, he said, أَثْقَلُ شَيْءٍ فِي مِزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خُلُقٌ حَسَنٌ. He said, the weightiest thing in the scales of the believer on the Day of Judgment is good character. The weightiest thing on the scales of the believer on the Day of Judgment is good character. Likewise, when they go to the Sirat, they will look at, or they will remember without a doubt, when they go to that bridge that is over the back of the hellfire that extends from this earth to the paradise, they will realize the importance of good character in this world. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith of the Sirat, he said, وَتُرْسَلُ الْأَمَانَةُ وَرَحِمْ فَتَقُومَانِ جَنَبَتَي الصِّرَاطِ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا. He said that al-amana, that one's responsibilities in the womb, will be sent, they will be given a form on the Day of Judgment, and they will be sent and they will stand at the size of the sirat, at the size of the bridge on its right and its left. How are you going to make it across if you broke the ties of the womb? How do you expect to make it across if you didn't fulfill your agreements with others and uphold your responsibilities? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said concerning the hellfire, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَنْ تَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ النَّارِ ألا أخبركم بمن تحرم عليه النار غدا على كل هين لين صحل قريب من الناس. He says, shall I not inform you of those that the hellfire will be forbidden for tomorrow? He said, every person who is easygoing and humble. على كل هين لين صحل قريب من الناس. Every person who is humble and lenient and easygoing and close in love to the people. Likewise, concerning the paradise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed that the thing that will enter the people into paradise the most is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good character. And in the hadith of Abi Umama, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحِقَّا وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقُهُ وَلِمَنْ حَسَّنَ خُلُقَهُ. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, that I guarantee a home on the outskirts of paradise for the person who abandons arguing, even if he is right. And I guarantee a home in the middle of paradise, or the best part of paradise, for the person who abandons lying, even if he is joking. And I guarantee a home in the highest part of paradise for the person who beautifies his character. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اضمنوا لي ستا من انفسكم اضمن لكم الجنة. He said, guarantee for me 6 things from yourselves and I will guarantee paradise for you. اصدقوا اذا حدثتم واوفوا اذا وعدتم وادوا اذا اؤتمنتم واحفظوا فروجكم وغضوا ابصاركم وكفوا ايديكم. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be truthful when you speak and fulfill your promises when you make them and fulfill your responsibilities. When you are held responsible for a thing or given responsibility for a thing, and safeguard your chastity and lower your eyes and withhold your hands, meaning from harming the creation. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Abi Bakr, Al-Haya'u min al-Iman, wal-Imanu fil Jannah. Indeed, shyness is from Iman, is from faith. And faith, meaning those who have faith, they will be in the paradise. And concerning the woman of paradise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he informed that the women of paradise are those women who are the best of character. When he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِنِسَائِكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, shall I not inform you of your women from the people of paradise? He said, الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودَ الْعُودَ عَلَى زَوْجِهَا الَّتِي إِذَا أَذَتَ وَأُذِيَتْ جَاءَتْ حَتَّى تَأْخُذَ بِيَدِي زَوْجِهَا ثُمَّ تَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ لَا أَذُوقُ غُمْضًا حَتَّى تَرْضَى. Imam al-Munawi, he said, there are very few women who are like this. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, your woman from the people of paradise, said, are those that are loving to their spouses and childbearing. It doesn't mean that the woman who can't have child, that there's anything against her. But there are those women that are loving and childbearing, who bring about good and benefit for their husbands. There are those that when they harm their husbands or are harmed, as one narration says, التي إذا ظلمت, the woman that when she is oppressed, when she is wronged, she takes her husband's hand and she says, I swear by Allah, I will not taste sleep until you are pleased with me. I swear by Allah, I will not taste sleep or slumber or rest until you are pleased with me. Likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, Ahlul Jannah, man mala Allahu udhunayhi min thana'in nasi khayran wa huwa yasma'a. He said that the people of paradise are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill their ears with the praise of people for them in this world while they hear, because of their good character and their good dealings with the people, and the people hold them in a high and in high esteem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them ajil bushra. He will give them an immediate glad tidings in this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful names and lofty attributes to beautify our character and to let us benefit from good character in this world and the hereafter. Because we find that many of us are a little rougher on the edges. And that just as the iman of many people and their level of knowledge is weak, that likewise the result of iman and knowledge, which is good character, or should be good character, is also weak in many people. We find that the kuffar, that they look at many of the Muslims in contempt. And they have all sorts of stereotypes for the Muslims. They say that speaking about many Muslims that they're lazy. They say about them that they're dishonest, they lie and they cheat and they steal. And the sad thing is that, in reality, that is the case with many Muslims. That many people are not the examples that they should be. Many people hold their brothers in contempt, look down upon their brothers because of their economic situation. Many people, when it comes to marital problems and marital situations, they oppress their woman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Laysa ulaika bi khiyarina." He said, "These are not the best of us." Speaking about the people who beat on their woman. And many people who, when it comes to fulfilling the rights of the employer, they are very negligent. And they feel as though they're not getting paid what they want to get paid, and so they're not going to put forth the type of work that the employer wants to have put out. But a person must abide by his agreements, to the point that even if he is being oppressed, but he agreed to that oppression, he must abide by his agreement. As Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked about people who don't want to report their income on their taxes, and they don't want to pay their taxes. And he said that taxes are oppression. He said, but they agreed to pay them contractually. And contracts are of two types, that which is written and that which is customary. Your mere presence here means that you have agreed to pay them. Right? And he mentioned how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed the peace treaty, the agreement at Hudaybiyah, and how it contained within it all sorts of things that were oppressive towards the Muslims. And how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fulfilled his end of the agreement, even though it brought about harm upon some of the Muslims. And this is the reality, as some people, and they want to shortchange others because they feel that others shortchange them. They feel as though they are justified in having bad dealings with others because others have bad dealings with them. And without a doubt, the likes of these people harm the image of Islam, and they prevent the growth of Islam in this country. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to improve our condition. And I don't know what time you are for Isha, but that's all I got. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The brother, he asked a question. What can you advise the Muslims concerning that which, or regarding that which, those people who have deviated have with them? Good character is of two types. The first is good character with Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And it is that which good character is really built upon. And the second is good character in dealing with others. Good character towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and properly, and in dealing with or behaving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama, they said, is that firstly is that a person believes everything. تَصْدِيقُهُ فِيمَا أَخْبَرُ. They believe everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us. Right? And that's sufficient for us concerning the knowledge of the unseen, concerning the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning those things that can only be known by way of revelation. We believe what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are many people of deviation, as the ulama of Islam, they say, as you can find throughout the writings of many of them. And one of them, he wrote an entire book dealing with the two approaches that are taken by the people of deviation. He said, لأهل البدعي مسلكاني. الشيخ عبد الرحمن المعلمي, he said in his book Al-Qa'id, إلى تصحيح العقائد, he said that the people of innovation, they have two approaches that they take. One of them is the approach of علم الكلام والفلسفة, يعني the knowledge of philosophy or the study of philosophy and rhetoric and so on and so forth. And this is where people, for example, make ta'wil of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where people say things like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a face. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that He has a face. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have hands. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that He has hands. Is there anyone that is more knowledgeable about the creation than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Evident. Then there is the other direction of people who take a more mystical approach. There are people, they are ashab al-manamat wal-kashaf. Any people who have visions, people who have dreams and so on and so forth, where they say that a companion came to them, or the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them and gave them some information, or the wali such and such Muslim, quote unquote, saint, came to me in a dream and he told me such and such. And these things have been introduced into the religion. And these things that were seen in dreams were introduced into the religion as tashri'at, as matters of belief and matters of practice and law, and so on and so forth. To the point that some of them, they said, and they are al-madrasat al-diyabandiya, they said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the four khalifas came to their school and wrote the qawaneen of their school. Not in a dream. That as I am awake right now and you are awake, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the four khalifas came to their school and wrote the laws of their school. And then they say, but these people are so nice. That's politics. Because the person who has that type of belief, he reminds us of the statement of Al-Awza'i. Some of the ulama, they say that Al-Imam Al-Awza'i, he said that indeed the shaitan leaves the person of bid'ah alone concerning ibadah. حَتَ يَغْتَرَّ بِهِ النَّاسِ, so that the people will be fooled by him. The Muslim who is upon the sunnah, who is striving to be upon the way of the early generations, as soon as he says Allahu Akbar, waswasa. Everything that he tries to do of worship, there's some type of obstruction. The shaitan comes to him and tries to put a barrier between him and any type of good. But the person of deviation and innovation, Imam Ahmad, he said about one of them, I believe it was Karabisi, he said, don't be fooled by the drooping of his neck. Don't be tricked by the drooping of his neck. He's so humble. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she saw some people, she saw some shabab yamshun, وَيَتَمَاوَتُونَ فِي مَشِهِمْ. They were walking and they were like walking like zombie-like. Real. She said, man, ha'ula. She said, who are these people? They said, anusak. These are the righteous youth. She said, كَانَ عُمَرْ بِنَ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ إِذَا كَلَّمَ أَسْمَعْ وَإِذَا ضَرَبَ أَوْجَعْ وَإِذَا أَكَلَ شَبْعْ وَكَانَ هُوَ النَّاسِكُ حَقَّى. He said, indeed, Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, when he used to speak, he will make you hear him. And when he hits you, it will hurt. And when he ate, he will eat his full, كما قالت, or as she said, and he was a true righteous person. Much of what people call good character, in fact, is not good character. Some people say that warning against those who lie against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is divisive and this is bad character. The people of Sunnah, they have bad character. They're making problems for the people. Honey, this is the opposite case. Rather, this is from nasiha, which is from the best of character. And it takes courage, because people aren't going to like what you have to say. And so a person, he shouldn't be fooled, and he buy the likes of these things. And we're not saying that people who are upon deviation and so on and so forth, that they don't have any good character with them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to guide them. But we're saying not to be fooled by it. Not to be fooled by it. And this should make, just as we see likewise from the kuffar, because they say the same things about the kuffar, right? They say the Muslims in my land are like this, but we come over here and they're like all polite. Hello, thank you, goodbye. Good morning, good afternoon, right? And they think that this is good character, right? And they say that the Christians over here, that they have, to the point that some of them, they said that they have Islamic character, right? We don't want to go into that. That's a whole other talk, right? This is the reality. Some people, and they just assign good character on what they think is any humility or so on and so forth, that which makes people feel comfortable. And this is something that any shows us the importance of what we're going to talk about tomorrow, which is the exact definition of good character. Because when we define a thing in Islam, the ulama, they say, al-had huwa lafdul jami'ul mani', that a definition is that which includes everything a thing is and excludes everything that it is not. So we can identify what is Islamic character and what is not Islamic character. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us with that. The Prophet ﷺ said, guarantee for me 6 things from yourselves, and I will guarantee paradise for you. He said, be truthful when you speak, fulfill your promises, fulfill your agreements. And fulfill what you are responsible for, rather. وَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ, and safeguard your chastity and your private parts. Lower your eyes and your eyesight, and withhold your hands from harming others. What do you think? Who wants to answer this question? He said, do you have to do all 6 of these things? It's just one enough. So if you lower your eyes from the haram, but you run around just punching people for no reason, right? Abusing people, lying, cheating. Okay, I got questions. Give me some of the ways, without looking at your notes, give me some of the ways that good character will benefit a person on the Day of Judgment. Some of the things from the events of the Day of Judgment, like the Mizan, or the Sirat, or the bringing of the Hellfire, or any so on and so forth, the different things on the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned how good character will benefit the person. You're going to take the easy one, I know it. Go ahead. Alright. Or even if you're right. Even if you're right. Those who love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which is from good character, they will be in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Akbar. That you will be close to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. No. You'll be from those that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will love them. Allah Akbar. You'll be of those who will be envied by the prophets and the shuhada. Right? We didn't mention that. did you say, raise your hand? Okay. Abdul Bafar. Go ahead, Shaykh. Go ahead. Yeah, for having good character, for any liman hassana khuluqa, a person who beautifies his character, he will have a house, a home in the highest part of Jannah. You know what that means? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, إِنَّ لِلْمُؤْمِنْ لَخَيْمَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ تَوْلُهَا سَبْعُونَ مَيْلًا. He said that indeed the paradise will have a khayma, or indeed the believer in the paradise will have a khayma. A khayma is like a pavilion. Imam Ibn Qayyim, he said it's a pavilion like what leads out from a person's home to his like gardens and rivers and so on and so forth. He said it's like a part of his home, like the addition of his home almost, right? So the khayma, the Prophet's hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the believer will have a khayma in the paradise that will be 60 times what the eye can see to the horizon. High. And in one narration, and the عَرُضُهَا سِتُونَ مِيلًا, it will be that wide. It will be that wide and that high, right? Right? That's some serious real estate investing. You invest in your character. Right? Now, that good character will be the heaviest thing in the scales of the believer on the Day of Judgment. The Imam, he said, what are some of the things that help a person increase his character? So that's the lecture tomorrow. Inshallah. Right, the hellfire is forbidden for the person who is hayyin, لين سهل قريب من الناس, a person who is humble, lenient, and easy going and close, and loved, beloved to the people. Ahsantum. So tomorrow we're going to, inshallah, we're going to mention some of the definitions of the ulama of the Salaf, like Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Imam Ahmed and others, how they define good character and how the scholars of Islam define good character and what are the arkan, the pillars of good character. The pillars of good character. Right? Ibn Qayyim in one place he mentions five pillars of good character. In another place he mentions four. I'm going to bring some of the words of Ibn Qayyim and others, inshallah, explaining the pillars of good character and the definition of good character. What it means to love a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any a person, any the highest act of worship, as Ibn Taymiyyah has said, the highest act of worship that a person can do is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? More important than fearing Allah and hoping for the mercy of Allah is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although we fear Allah and hope for the mercy of Allah, to the point of Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, the person who only does what he does fearing the punishment of Allah and hoping for the reward of Allah, but not because he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has not smelled the fragrance of love. And he hasn't encountered love. And so a person, he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he loves what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and he hates what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. And he loves those people who have those characteristics that are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and according to what they have of those characteristics, and those that he dislikes because of those characteristics that they have that are contrary to that. As a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Al-Adab al-Mufrad collected by Imam Bukhari, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحبب حبيبك حوناً ما عسى أن يكون بغيلك يوماً ما. Love the person that you love to a certain degree, perhaps he will be from those that you should hate one day. وأبغض بغيضك حونا ما عسى أن يكون وأبغض بغيضك حونا ما عسى أن يكون حبيبك يوما ما. And love those that you, or hate those that you hate to a certain degree, because perhaps one day they'll be from those that you must love. And so a person, he looks at those qualities that are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described them to us. Like in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he described the believer, and how the believer safeguards his salat, has khushu in his salat, how the believer fulfills his agreements. All throughout the Quran we find the descriptions of the believer, right? The believer safeguards his chastity, so on and so forth. So if he finds a person, he says, I love this brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of what he sees of good character in that person, then this is what it means to love a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves him because the person is upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loves him because he is a person of tawheed. He's a person who doesn't worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves that person because the person, he fulfills what has been obligated upon them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the benefits of him loving a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he tells a person, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيُعْلِمْهُ. One of you loves his brother, then let him tell him that he loves him. Imam al-Baghawi, he said in Sharh al-Sunnah, in his explanation, of many of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the benefit of telling his brother that he loves him is so there will be أَدْعَى لِقُبُولِ نَصِيحَتِهِ, and there will be more likely that he takes his nasiha when he gives it to him. He tells him, I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He lets his brother know that he loves him, and there will always be something in people that are close to you that they need advice about. And some people, they say that they love others and they never advise them. They never advise their brothers, and they watch people fall into all sorts of mahalik. You see a person that's close to you, they're mutakabbir. That person is arrogant, always talking about people, always belittling people, so on and so forth. And the way that they walk, the way that they talk, they got a swagger, all that. That's your friend. Why are you friends with him? I love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to advise him about his arrogance. Right? You have to advise people concerning what is in them. The believer, he is the mirror of his brother. The mirror, what does the mirror do? The mirror shows you when you wake up and your beard looks like whodunit, right? You know, it shows you all of your uyub, all of your problems, all of your faults, all of your flaws, so on and so forth. That's how you're supposed to be for your brother. That's how you're supposed to be for your brother. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, one of the first things that he said, as his khutbah is authentically reported to us, what he said when he became the Khalifa, he said, "Wulita alaykum, walastu bi khiyarikum." He said, "I have been appointed over you, and I am not the best from amongst you," even though he was. And he said, "As-sidqu amana wal-kadhibu khiyana." As-sidqu amana wal-kadhibu khiyana. Right? He said, "As long as I'm upon the truth, fa'ayyinuni, then help me. And when I deviate away from the truth in any issue, فَقَوِّمُونِي, then correct me." Right? He said, "As-sidqu amana wal-kadhibu khiyana." Telling the truth is an amana. Right? Saraha. Right? Having direct words and how you talk to people and advise people and being true in what you say to people, that's an amana. That's a responsibility. It's a trust. Should be questioned about wal-kadhibu khiyana, and falsehood and phoniness is treachery and betrayal. Right? So when you love a person for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you want for them, you want the good for them, even if they don't want it for themselves. Right? And you dislike harm, you dislike disobedience and what will harm them, because disobedience harms them, even if they like it for themselves. That's why Ibn Hazm, rahimullah ta'ala, he said, that's why there's a difference between a nasih wa siddiq. There's a difference between a sincere advisor and a friend, and just a mere friend. He said, your friend, what makes you happy, and he dislikes what makes you sad. But the one who has sincerity towards you, he likes what is of a good for you, even if you don't like it for yourself. Right? And he dislikes what is bad for you, even if you like it for yourself. And that's a test of if a person really loves somebody for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is something that is almost inexistent in many cases in the times that we live in, where the people are forthcoming and speak with real speech to each other. Right? And this must exist between husbands and wives. It must exist between parents and their children, between children to their parents. But of course, with rifq, you have to show any more etiquette and more any manners when dealing with your parents and advising them, but you have to advise your parents. So one of the questions that we want to ask some of the mashayikh, any advice is for how we, some of us who have non-Muslim parents, how do we advise them? Some of us, we have non-Muslim parents, we see them doing all sorts of things, how do we advise them? And these sorts of issues, how to advise people, so on and so forth, they need to be understood. Whatever the case, this is any sign that a person really loves somebody for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his love is actually for Allah, and what is love?